Have your Bible, hold it up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromising Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Oh, give God a big praise for the Word. Amen. You know, really seriously, Church on the Rock, you know, that's what we got. That's what we're all about, right? Build your house on the rock. And the rock is the Word. It's the teaching. It's the Bible. And like I said, this is the most powerful book on the planet. This is the most perfect book on the planet. There's 66 books in this book with over 40 authors written over a time period of over thousands of years without contradicting itself. Think about when it went to print, when they actually printed it several hundred years ago, people gave their life. They were burnt at the stake for the printing of the Bible. That tells me that the enemy doesn't want this book around. He doesn't want it read. He doesn't want it known. He comes immediately to steal what? The Word. Amazing, isn't it? So that's why, you know, this is important to know it and to apply it into our everyday life. And it will transform our life. No other book will do what this book will do for you and me. Amen? So open your Bible right now to the New Testament. Get something to take notes on. We're beginning a brand new series called The Joy of Serving. Now, we're going to do this for this whole month. Last month, we talked about, well, I forgot already. What did we talk about last month? Oh, thank you. Praise God. Unwavering faith. Somebody's saying, did he really forget? Unwavering faith. And we were dealing with the villain of feelings. Do you remember that? As your pastor and shepherd who's preparing you for the future, as we were dealing with right now, our whole world is all about feelings and how they feel about this and feel about that, and they're dominated by their feelings, controlled by their feelings, and held prisoner by their feelings. So we taught on unwavering faith. This month, the villain that I want to attack, that I want to keep out of my life, out of your life, out of our church life, is selfishness. Selfishness and being self-centered and only caring about one's self. So I want to deal with selfishness, and we want to keep it out of our life, keep it out of our church. Can I have a witness in the house? So that's what we're attacking. So the other side of that is servanthood. So today I want to give you the definition from the Bible of servanthood, and then I want to give you the biblical foundation for servanthood, and then give you some takeaways that we can begin applying. And we're all praying, right? We did a while ago, new revelation on servanthood. You know, really, somebody's talking to somebody. This doesn't really trip my trigger today. I want something different. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to meet a need in your life today that is your number one need. And you know what it is? The need to feel significant. The need to feel needed. It really is. It's the number one need of a human being is the need to feel like their life is making a difference. So I'm going to meet that need today in your life and show you that you are needed and that God has called you to live a successful, significant life through servanthood. Amen, everybody. Oh, I like it. So let me give you now the life of a Christian is a life of contrast, right? So the world is selfish, but you and I are called to be servants. There are two major calls. The universal call is for all of us to come to salvation. Can we agree on that? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Somebody might say, I've heard it, you've heard it. Well, if God's really a good God, why does he send people to hell? He's never sent any human being to hell. They choose to go. It's a choice, all right? So, you know, if God is a good God, and they talk about that, and God's calling everybody to repentance. Doesn't matter your creed, your color, your economic, education, status, tall, short, fat, thin. God loves the world. For God so loved the world, he gave. When you and I are giving, that's when we are the most like God. When you and I are serving, that's when you and I are most like God. Not when we're selfish, but when we're serving. So there's a universal call to the world. All of us, everyone, is called to salvation. All right? Can you say that with me? Salvation. Let's try it. Salvation. And then once we accept that call, then we're in the body of Christ or we're in the church. And you do know the very word church in the Greek is ecclesia, and it means called out. So if I'm born again and I'm planted in a local church, I'm called out of the world. Even though I'm in the world, I'm called out of the world. I'm not to be like the world. There should be contrast. We should be salt and light. There should be contrast in my life with the world and the old way I used to live. So there's a universal call. The first call is for salvation. When you and I accept that call, then the second call in the church is to servanthood. Both words start with S, servanthood. So actually, I'm sharing with you God's purpose for your life. I'm sharing with you God's call on your life. I'm sharing with you this whole month how to meet your number one need, and that is to be needed and wanted, and that you make a difference with your life. So that's what we're going to do this month. Does that sound okay? I'd encourage you to share it with a friend, because there are a lot of people right now that don't feel needed, wanted, important, or significant. They're confused. They don't know their call. They don't know why they're here. What on earth am I here for on earth? And we're called to have a relationship with God. That's salvation. But then once we do that, then we're called to serve him. It's called servanthood. So once we're born again, or we accept the first call, notice we're not called to set in the grandstands. I've been watching CrossFit, you know, CrossFit been going on in Madison, Wisconsin, worldwide, global, the games, the CrossFit games. And it's interesting to watch the people in the stands watching versus the people on the field doing. The people on the field doing, they have a different persona. They have a different facial expression. They have a different, something's different about the people who are participators versus those who are spectators out in the grandstands. So I think God's calling all of us to get out of the grandstands and get on the playing field, know our position, and do it well. Amen? So let me give this to you. You might want to write this down. A servant of God, this is what my Bible dictionaries brought out. What does it look like to be a servant of God, to become a servant, accept servanthood? Well, number one, I've made Jesus Lord of my life. I'm going to give you five things. I made Jesus Lord of my life. This is what a servant looks like in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. There's two calls. The first call is salvation. The second call is servanthood. All right? So Jesus as Lord. Secondly, we sang it today. If I am in servanthood ministry and I'm serving God by serving others, then number two, I've surrendered to his will. You heard Pastor Kim talk about that. You heard us sing about that. I've surrendered to God's will. If I'm really a son and a servant, a daughter and a servant of the Most High God, I've made Jesus Lord of my life. Now, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Okay, so he's Lord over my car, my truck, my shotgun, my fishing pole, my football, my basketball, my job, my career, my kids. Come on, somebody. My house, my job, my career, my future. So if I'm a servant of the Most High God, what does that look like? Number one, I've made Jesus Lord over my life. Number two, I've surrendered my life to his will. Number three, I'm faithful to the work that he's given to me. I'm faithful to the work that he's given to me. And all of us have a work to do while we're on this planet. We weren't here by accident. Maybe your parents said you were a mistake. Well, they were wrong. Maybe they said you were an accident. They were wrong. You have a work to do. Jesus said we must work the work while there's time to do it. He says, do business, be diligent while there's time to do it. So being a servant of God, number one, is I've made Jesus Lord over every area of my life. Number two, I've surrendered my will for his will. I did that kind of like Pastor Kim in 1976. I'd run from God, wrestle with God. My life was miserable. Grew up in church, going to church, my dad a deacon, but I was still miserable. How many of you know, don't raise your hands. You can go to church and still be miserable, okay? Well, what's lacking is that servanthood. It really is. I remember, you know, when Daniel was going to college, Jerry Savelle's years ago in Fort Worth, Texas. I remember he called me up and he said, you know, Dad, there just seems like there's something missing. I said, Daniel, you know what you need to do? You need to get involved in an outreach there in Fort Worth. Get involved in feeding the poor and helping the needy and the street people under the bridges. And you know what? That missing ingredient, you're going to one of the best Bible schools in the world, Jerry Savelle. But yet you still feel a little something's missing. And Daniel did that. And he said, Dad, now my joy is complete. Now I feel like the whole circle is complete. What's missing in our life many times is selfishness has taken the place of servanthood. What about me? How come me? How come I don't have it? And let me just insert this. You know, I thank God for our food trucks, right? As your pastor who loves you, that's a blessing, okay? That's not an entitlement. So we don't want to go out there and act like non-Christians. I'm putting a disclaimer out there. Pastor, what are you saying this for? Well, you don't want to know. But there have been some reports that some folks have gone out there in line, kind of been belligerent to some of the people in the food trucks. And I'll be honest with you, they actually said, we're never coming back to Church on the Rock. So we said, you know what? That must have been visitors from another church. Couldn't be Church on the Rock folk, because we're not entitlement-minded. We're not like the world owes me. The world owes me nothing. The Democrats, Republicans owe me nothing. Right. You got to have, it's not real strong reaction there, but it's the truth. You know, that entitlement thing doesn't belong at Church on the Rock, okay? You get what you work for. Amen. So I just, a little commercial out there because I love y'all, and I want to be good witnesses to those people who come out here. Amen? All right. Back to where I was at. Oh, I forgot. Where was I at? Oh, a servant of the Most High God. Is Jesus is Lord. Number two, you've surrendered to his will. And then number three, you're faithful to the work that God has given you to do. And then number four is you use the gifts and the abilities that God's given to you to benefit other people. You use the gifts and the ability. And everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody in the drive-in church. By the way, boy, y'all looking good over there today. I looked at you coming down. And then the VR church, every one of us have gifts, talents, and abilities that are from God. And we're not to hoard them. We are to use them to benefit other people. Wow, there's nothing like, you know, helping other people. There's nothing like seeing other people benefited from you using your gifts, talents, and abilities. A servant in the house of the Lord, they've said, Jesus is Lord over my life. Not my hobby, not my job, not my kids, not my dog, my cat, or my hamster. And then they said, I surrender not my will, but God's will. When I did that in 1976, everything changed for me. I grew up in the church. We were going to the church, but I was miserable. There was that missing ingredient. I hadn't surrendered everything. But when I surrendered everything, did it get easy? No, it got harder. But I knew I was on the right path. It's the road less traveled, but it's the right road. You do understand. Now, please don't take this wrong, but you do understand most people are going to go to hell. I don't like that, but most people are going to go to hell. Pastor, where do you get that? The road to hell is wide, and many go there. The road to heaven is narrow. Few go there. The Bible says most people are going to go to hell, and a few are going to go to heaven. I want to get as many in the few as I can, and I know you do too. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen through your good works It's going to happen through you being salt, you being light, you showing up, you responding unlike the world, us not being selfish, us not being mean and cruel, but you and I being totally different than the world. So a servant is Jesus' Lord. I've surrendered to his will. I'm faithful to the work that he's given to me. I use my gifts and abilities that God's given to me to benefit others. And number five, I have the attitude of Christ. What was that? Unselfishness. Unselfishness. Do you know the Bible? We're going to read it today. Do you know the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. It's not talking about a brain transplant or a mind transplant. The word mind there means attitude. Let this attitude that was in Christ be in you. And what was that attitude? A servant. That was the attitude. So now there's kind of the definition. I told you I'd do it. The definition. I like those 5 points. Very clear. Very specific. Tells me what Christianity is all about. It tells you what does it mean. Once I accept the call of salvation, then I want to accept the call of servanthood and being a servant of the Most High God. So that's the definition. Now, let me give you a biblical foundation. Is that cool? A biblical foundation. So go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Did you know that God wants you to desire to be great? I remember when I came here 38 years ago, I spoke at a full gospel men's fellowship in Clayton. And we had just planted our church. We were in the Holiday Inn that's no longer there on 70. We had about 50 people coming. And I remember, you know, I'm young now. I'm 30 years young, okay? And I got a lot to learn. And I'm 67. And I got a lot more to learn now. John Osteen used to always tell me, the older you get, the less you know. Anyway, so I remember I went down there, that full gospel business fellowship. This is 1983. I remember I went down there, and you know what I talked about? Vision. I talked about vision. And this great church called Church on the Rock that was going to be, you know, different than any other church. And God was going to do this, and God was going to do that, and God was going to do this, and God was going to. Notice I said God. I said, God was going to do this, and God was. You know, after I got done, I had people come up to me at that full gospel business, and they sacrificed me. They burnt me alive. How dare you talk like that? Who do you think you are? I mean, you know, there's other churches that have been here longer than you. And who do you think you are coming into town saying it's going to be a great church someday, a multi-generational, diverse and this? Who do you think you are? Well, you know, I was just sharing that. I might have been a little overboard, might have been, but I was sharing vision. And it's amazing, down through these 38 years, a lot of times when you and I share vision, we get attacked over it. I want to tell you, God wants you to be great at what you do. It is not a sin to desire to be great. Let me show you from here in Mark 10, 43 through 45, the Passion Translation, and then another translation. You are to lead a different model. You are to lead by a different model. Wow, a whole lot different because the world push, shove, selfish, domineering, dictating. But you and I are to lead by a different model. Who's our role model? Jesus Christ. Now, remember, preceding this, you remember one of the mothers of the disciples, the disciples were arguing over who's going to be the greatest? Do you remember that? And Jesus is answering them. He said, you are to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest one, then live as one called. Serving is a calling. It's not demeaning. It's not, you know, the last resort. It's a calling. These are the words of Christ. Then live as one called to serve others. Notice he didn't blast them for wanting to be great. He did not blast them for wanting to be great. He did not tell them, you dirty little rats, don't ever desire to be great. He said, if you want to be great, then he said, lead a different way than the world. And he said, then live your life, accept the calling to servanthood. Oh, I like it. Don't you like that? Oh, praise God. If you want to be a leader, then you got to be a server. The way up is the way down. The way up is the way down. The kingdom of God is what we call an upside down kingdom. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. What does that mean? It's a contrast to the world. The path to promotion, he's not against you being promoted. What a good God. He's not against you being great. He's not against you being promoted. The path to promotion and prominence comes by having the right heart. Comes by having the right heart. What is that? Of a bond slave who serves not just white people or black people or brown people or young people or old people or rich people or poor people, but serves everyone. Serves everyone. Don't you love that, everybody? The path, say promotion, say prominence, say greatness. This is why you need to come all month. You need to get online. You need to be in VR. You need to get in the drive-in church. You need to tell your friends, because people are struggling and they're hurting and they're giving up on promotion and prominence, and they're giving up. Let there be light. I just saw the light come. Let there be light. Hallelujah. Well, now that right there is confirmation from heaven. Revelation is coming. The light is coming. But everybody say great. Promotion, prominence, all comes out of the right heart. Not who you know, not your charisma, and not, you know, blending in with a culture. No, it comes from having the right heart. What does God promote? The right heart. Promotion, prominence comes by having the heart of a bondslave who serves everyone, who serves everyone. So everybody say, greatest prominence and promotion will come into my life through accepting the call of servanthood. Give yourselves a hand clap. Y'all are so awesome. What? For even the Son of Man did not come expecting a food truck. I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden I said, you know what, everybody, we're not going to have those food trucks anymore. Wonder what would happen. Thank you. I remember one time, everybody say different season, a different location. It was in the North Campus. And I provided, you know, on Sunday morning, donuts and coffee for the choir. And then I just decided, you know what, they're not appreciating it. Now, this is a long time ago. They're taking it for granted. I'm going to take it away. And did you know, I mean, World War III happened. I mean, there was great strife and contention and division at Church of the Rock in the choir over donuts. Half of them left the church. If I'm lying, I'm frying. But see, they weren't as spiritual as y'all. They were as mature as y'all. Amen. Praise God. And if you say I said that, we're taking it out of the tape. Amen. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to get, but he came to what? Serve. He didn't come to be served by everybody. We call that entitlement. Boy, that's a bad, bad, bad. That's my bad, bad, bad. Last night I was watching The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Whew. Hang them high. Some of you don't know what that's all. Spiritual shows. I love it. I love it. I love it. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everybody, but to serve everyone, 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 and to give his life. Boy, that's more than being on time. Pastor Andy, you've gone to meddling. Get back to preaching. Okay, to give his life as the ransom price in exchange for the salvation of many. Notice, through his serving came the salvation of many people. Through your serving and my serving can come the salvation of many people. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our peers, those we go to school with. I love this. He didn't come expecting to get a handout, everybody serve him, but he came to serve everybody else and to give us that. So when you and I are serving, we're more like Christ. It doesn't say when we worship, we're like him. Really? It doesn't say, you know, when we praise, we're like him. Now, that's powerful, but it says only says when we're serving and giving, we're like him. We are most like Christ when we're serving, and serving is giving. Giving of my time, my tithe, my talent, my treasure, it's giving. Give his life. Some folks, now not y'all, I'm talking about other people, can't give a Sunday when Jesus gave his life. They can't give an extra night of the week when Jesus gave his life. Oh my goodness. I'm glad we're not that way. I'm glad a church on the rock. I want to get selfishness out of my life. You see, Pastor, do you have it? Yeah, just ask Pastor Kim. You know, we'll go through and get some ice cream. Why is it, guys, your wives always want to get theirs and taste yours? We went to the yogurt place the other day, and Pastor Kim got hers, and I got mine. And she said, can I taste that Heath chocolate one there? And my flesh wanted to rise up and say, woman, I'll buy you one. I don't want to. Okay. See, you're all holier than me. See, I said I'm driving selfishness out of me. Amen. But we all have some. Come on, none of us have arrived. We all, just when we think, oh, but praise God, Pastor, you're not talking about me. I'm talking about you and me and us and you uns and you guys and y'all. I'm talking about all of us because we got flesh. All right? So even the Son of Man, wow, we are running out of time. All right, so I'm giving you a biblical foundation. A biblical foundation. Let's go forward, guys. A biblical foundation. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing through the motive of strife and selfishness, or for unworthy ends, hidden agendas, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better and superior, thinking more highly of one another than you do yourself. Oh, is this a contrast to what's going on out there? Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely your own interests, but for the interests of other people. Now, remember, this is the way to greatness, promotion, and prominence. All right? Let this same attitude, everyone say attitude. Let this same attitude and purpose and mine be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. Let him be your example in humility. Whoa. So he's our role model. We're to have the mind that was in Christ in us. And what was it? It was the mindset of a servant, of seeing other people more important than ourselves. That we were born to not be served, but to serve other people. Why? We're more like God when we're doing that. It will bring many people to salvation. They'll see your good works and they'll want Christ. I love it. It will promote you. It will bring you to prominence. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. God will give you a platform that you can use to witness and win souls. I love it. Romans 12, as our organist comes out. Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as member of one family. I guess that's why we always start off our services, welcome home family, because we are a family. As members of one family, try to outdo yourself in respect, not disrespect. You know, it's amazing now when we try to meet one another, everybody's got their nose in their smartphone. Don't even look up. Don't even say hi. My daddy taught me before there were cell phones. That's disrespect. You know, looking at people in their eyes, smiling, facial expressions. What a witness. We're to outdo ourselves in showing respect and honor to one another. Verse 11, guys, push it forward. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Oh, it's another Sunday. I got to go be a door greeter. Not at Church on the Rock. Oh, I don't want to help those brats, those dirty curtain climbers, holy rollers, cookie crumblers, then the nursery and the children. Oh, I got to go down. They don't got no workers. Well, you sound like that lady on, anyway. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. What's that? The Monsters. The Monsters Ride, that one lady. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. This is Bible. Be enthusiastic. Keep your passion toward him and you're doing it for him. I asked Pastor Tommy Barnett, who's on our board, by the way, asked him one time, Tommy, how have you lasted all these years? And he said, everything that I've done, he started the Dream Centers. He started the bus ministry. He did all these things around the world. I said, Pastor Tommy, how have you kept doing this all your life? He said, Dave, I've never done it for people. I've done it as unto the Lord. And when I do it as unto the Lord, I never get disappointed. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keep your passion boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. And let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. So by serving others, we're serving God. And notice the Holy Spirit gets involved. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit gets involved when we get involved. Oh, I like it. He gets involved when we get involved. And he'll fill you up with excitement. And it'll be contagious. It'll be a witness. You'll make a difference. Your life will be significant. You know you're needed. You know you're wanted. You know you have gifts and abilities. You know that we can't do it without you. Amen, somebody? Y'all get something today? Give the Lord a hand clap, would you? Come on, let's thank God for the word. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes on every campus? Let me give the clarion call to salvation. I want you to know that at Church on the Rock, you're welcome. You're accepted. We're called to serve one another, period. We're called to love one another, respect one another, honor one another, period. Doesn't matter our politics. Doesn't matter if we're pro this or against that. Leave that stuff at the door. You're not going to take your politics to heaven. Sorry, I'm going to be there. Let's leave all that stuff at the door. And let's realize we're one family, a lot of different folk, but one family. We're to love and serve, honor and respect one another. Now, we're not perfect. So right now, all of our campuses, you'd say, Pastor, I'm looking for a spiritual home. I'm looking for a spiritual family. I'm looking for a church to get planted in. I want to give my life to God. I know I need God. Pray for me. Or you're a believer, but things have slipped, and you say, Pastor, I want to not resume my old life. I want to reset my life. I want to get back on track. I want to do that, Pastor. Pray for me today. I want to go. We're about to end summer, going into the fall. I want to go fall forward with God. Pray for me, Pastor. Will God forgive me? Yes. Will God accept me? Yes. Will God love me? Yes. Christians aren't perfect. We fall. The Bible says 7 times we get up again. The key is keep getting up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Amen. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, online, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want you to push the button on your smartphone. Push a button on your computer. Last weekend, church, we had a record online get born again. All you givers realize that. We had a record online get born again. Punch the button on your screen. You say, Pastor, why do I have to do that? Because faith is an act. It's not a feeling. It's an act. And here we get to come forward at the end of the service. There you can't do that. When you act on a decision, you have a greater commitment. So punch that button, okay? And here and across the street at the drive-in church, VR church, out in the lobby, wherever you're at, and in this room, you say, Pastor, that's me. That's me, Pastor. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I want things to change. I need God. I need forgiveness. I need to know that I'm significant. I'm important. All the things you said, I want to be a servant. I want to make a difference. I want to put God first. All of the above. If that is you, just lift your hand here in the room. Nobody's going to come to you. Just lift it up high and wave it at me. This is the time to be real and authentic in a world that's not. When everybody's coming out of the closet, I think it's time for Christians to come out of the closet. Put your hand up high. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. If we ever needed to make a stand, oh boy, do we need to make a stand now. You put your hand down. So we're all going to pray together. We're going to lead you. Again, last weekend, totally, we had over 60 decisions for Christ on our campus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray this prayer now. See, your serving is bringing salvation to other people. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. Help me take the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up and celebrate with heaven, everybody. Look up and celebrate with heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Let's all stand together, could we? And I just want to say one more thing as we're standing. Please don't leave yet in the drive-in church and outside or wherever you're at. I want to give you an opportunity for greatness. I want to give you an opportunity for promotion and prominence. It's important that we act on what we hear. I know many of you have been on our dream team. That's our serving teams in the past. But through COVID and all that we're going through now, Delta, and whoever knows what the next one will be. But through all of it, maybe you have not been serving. And you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready here locally to come back and serve. Or I'm ready to serve God in my community, wherever you're at. I'm ready to do that. And maybe you've gone through the classes and you just want to re-engage and get on the team again. Maybe you've never been on our serving teams and you say, you know what? God's speaking to me. Remember, the lights all came on when I was talking. Revelation knowledge, confirmation from heaven, an omen, amen. And you say, Pastor, it's time for me. It's time for me to go to a new level, a new dimension in God. I want to accept the clarion call to be on a serving team at Church on the Rock. I want to just know more about it. On the screen, they're having it for us right now, to text SERVE. Would you do that? Would you reach down and grab your smartphone or your computer, your iPad right now? This is a holy moment now. This is a holy moment. This is not an accident. And just simply text SERVE. And what's going to happen is this week, the staff told me they'll contact you. And they'll tell you, help you any way we can. Just answer questions or whatever. But it's time to reengage. It's time to reset. It's time to be different from the world who's very selfish right now. And it's time to accept the call of servanthood. Amen, everybody? I sure do love you. You're the best in all the world. Don't forget, God is for you.
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.